This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Good afternoon and happy Wednesday. I'm Alex Sharg, usually behind the glass if you just missed the intro. We do have a jam-packed lineup as usual. Diamond Leung at 1:20 will be joining us to discuss the Indiana upset. Loss against Minnesota. He'll be talking about some Spartan rumblings leading up to Sunday's rivalry game against the University of Michigan again. A lot of buildup for that. And we'll talk about the new potential offensive coordinator for the Michigan State Spartans. That's right, the Spartans. There's a report coming out today that they have a man in mind. And there's one report coming out that this guy is officially going to be the coordinator. So we'll get into that. I'll leave you that surprise at 1:20 when Diamond comes on. We're also going to be talking about some Detroit Tigers spring training talks. There's a lot going on with some injuries right now, just to name a few. Injuries to Brennan Bosch, Ramon Santiago, and now Andy Dirks. How is that going to affect the bottom half of the lineup? Also, the Bruce Rondon shaky start, and that was after Papa Grande, Jose Valverde, has departed. So a lot of hype going into Bruce Rondon, the high fastball thrower's performance. So we'll see whether he can hold up in spring training and throughout the year. And then there's one more segment I'm going to get into later, and it's about basketball brawls. Roy Hibbert and David Lee getting into a nasty brawl the other night as the Pacers took on David Lee's crew. And this one was just bad. I mean, you can't compare the Pistons and Pacers brawl years ago. But this brawl started to involve some fans. And I'm not talking about fans throwing anything at players, but I'm talking about players pushing fellow players into the stands. So a lot going on with that brawl, then the Carmelo Anthony Spencer Hawes confrontation. We saw it earlier with Metta World Peace and Brandon Knight. So a lot of brawls happening in the NBA lately. I just want to get into why that may be and basically what can be done about this. So we'll get into that as we progress later in the show. But I want to remind you that today is the show that we are giving away two pairs of tickets to see the Michigan State Spartan hockey team take on the Western Michigan Broncos Friday and Saturday night at the Munn Ice Arena. That's right. The ticket number 517-884-4783 will give you the rest of today's show to get your calls in before we announce the winners at 1:55. So you definitely want to keep your ears tuned to the FM to the AM dial. And definitely be on the lookout for some Spartan hockey tickets. Again, the number 517-884-4783. That's right. We've got a pair for Friday, a pair for Saturday, as the Spartans take on the Western Michigan Broncos this weekend. The number, as usual, for the Sports Talk Show, 517-355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. You can also call toll-free, 877-952-7870. That's 877-952-WKAR-870. If you have any emails, questions for us, sportstalk@WKAR.org is the email address. Address any concerns to me, myself, or Aaron, doing all the cues for us today. Basically, some more news we're going to get into right off to start the show is the Detroit Red Wings. And we went into this yesterday. We went into the fact that this realignment for the Wings to move into the Eastern Conference may seem feasible. But there are some new details, some new rumblings coming out later in the day yesterday. That was after we concluded the show. And some new details about this realignment is a little bit different than I think many people expect it, and this is why. When we talked about the realignment yesterday, when we started to get into what these conferences would be like, what's the actual ideal layout for this Big Four model, basically when we talked about it the other day, there proved to be four big conferences, four Big Eight, 7-team conferences. But what they're going to do now is they're going to keep the two conferences. So they have the West and they have the East. They're going to keep those two. But what they're going to do now is they're going to have two divisions within those two conferences. That's right. So within the West and the East, they're going to have two divisions in the West, two divisions in the East. So there's no more Atlantic Division, there's no more this, there's no more that, no dilly-dally. There's two divisions and then two subdivisions within each conference. So more on that, and this is something that I think is a little bit worrisome, is yes, the Tigers will be, the Red Wings will be in a much stronger division when they have the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Canadiens, the Boston Bruins, the Sabres, Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Ottawa Senators. It's also very important to know that with each conference, with the four sub-conferences within the two big ones, within the West and the East, the Eastern Conference, that's what the Wings will potentially move to, in that Eastern Conference, there will be two 8-team divisions. So that's two 8-team divisions in the East. And in the West, there are two 7-team divisions. And what they're proposing is a wild card. They would take 5 from the Eastern Conference and 3 from the West. So the main criticism with this new model is not merely the fact that there are some time zone changes, but it's more in the way that with these conferences and the way that everything is set up with the 8 teams and the 7 teams in the West, the main thing about that is that you're snubbing one spot away from the West. There's 7 teams, and then there's 8 teams in the East. You're going to give one more spot to the East than you would to the West. Is that fair? Would you be fine, if you're listening, would you be fine as a hockey fan, the Wings or any other team in that East, getting an extra playoff spot over a much better team in the West? Let's say in the West, out of 3 teams, let's say there are 4 great teams. Let's say the Avalanche have a great year, the Stars, let's say the Canucks and the Ducks. If 4 of those teams have great years and they have better records than the Eastern Conference teams, is that fair? How is that fair? For example, a 5th place team in one division has a better chance of making it than a fourth place team in the West. What are your thoughts on that? We'd love to take your call. 517-355-9527. You can call toll-free 877-952-7870. Again, NHL realignment. Some new details moving today. Of course, there's a lot of criticisms with this new model. And just to give you an update on how far along this is, there was an official memo sent out to all NHL teams. This came from the NHL. From the NHL itself, and they sent it out to all these teams with this proposal, and I guess they're going to talk about it. They'll get an official ruling sometime in the near future. But for right now, it remains to be seen whether this new alignment will come in full circle. Yes, this might be the only way to move the Wings and the Columbus Blue Jackets to the East, but it gets unequal division. So, you know, you may be asking, why is it so necessary to have these unequal divisions? Why is there any sort of alternative to having a 5-3 model? Well, the problem with that is if you move Columbus to the West, then that totally nixes this whole plan to move the Eastern time zone teams to the Eastern Conference. The main reason this inequality exists of 5-3 is because we're moving the Wings and the Blue Jackets to begin with. If they stayed in the West, it would be a 4-4. But with this new proposal, it would be 5-3. Is there another plan? Do you have an idea for the NHL that you'd like to propose yourself? We'd love to take your calls. 517-355-9527. Just want to remind you, too, if you're just tuning in, we are giving away 2 pairs of tickets as the Michigan State Spartans host the Western Michigan Broncos this weekend at Mount Ice Arena. 1 game Friday, 1 game Saturday. The ticket number, we've got Aaron behind the glass queuing it up. 517-884-4783. Again, 517-884-4783. If you'd like to win a pair of tickets to Friday or Saturday's match when the Spartans host the Broncos at Mount Ice Arena in East Lansing. More on the Wings. We actually have a call. We'll actually take that in a minute. But let's just talk about this team right now. 2 straight wins. They might be looking to get on the right track. Anderson with 2 goals on Luongo, a young guy, big body, understanding coach's thoughts on defense. He's trying to maintain his spot on the team. He's trying to show that although he is on that 3rd, 4th line, he deserves to get up there with the big boys. He deserves, you know, to stay up with the Wings and not the Griffins. So this is very impressive. 2 goals against Roberto Luongo. You certainly can't doubt that. But, of course, Wings still have a lot to conquer. They've got some tough tasks. They still have to face the record-setting Blackhawks. So thoughts on the wings. Is Cronwall making the case as a defenseman? Well, he's leading all defensemen in the NHL with 16 points right now. That's 16 points, and 10 of those were on the power play. So, of course, Cronwall, with Lidstrom leaving the big shoes to fill, he's starting to answer the call. But here's the thing about Cronwall real quickly. And the only thing about Cronwall that I would say is he doesn't have that same plus-minus ratio that Lidstrom have. Thus far, he has a minus 4 overall in points. You know, that's not good at all. Minus 4 for the entire season thus far. Not only is that the lowest in his career, but, you know, for a first-line defenseman, top tier, who's leading the league in points, that's a statistic to really look at. So, of course, a lot of miscellaneous variables that go along with that. Could have been the fault of some forwards or centers, but still a troubling statistic. But another thing to note about the minus 4 is he is plus 5 in his last two. That's after the Canucks and after them beating, going out west and beating the team as well. So they are moving on. It looks like they are in the right direction. So if it continues for him to get minuses, then I think we'll bring that up in a further conversation. Again, the number before we take this call, 517-355-9527. At 1:20, Diamond Leong from M Live will be joining us to discuss the Indiana loss, Michigan State rumblings against Michigan this weekend, and also the Spartans' new offensive coordinator. That's right. There's some rumblings coming out today about the Spartans making a splash with a coaching hire. But let's jump to the phones. We've got Ray from Fort Wayne who wants to talk about last night's Indiana game. Ray, what'd you catch there?
Boy, I tell you, I couldn't believe how flat Indiana was. Minnesota just took it to them. They were out hustling them all night long. They deserved that game.
Yeah, and you know what, Ray? And within the last couple minutes, it was shocking to see that Indiana came back. They had a plethora of different three-pointers. It shows that this is a team that they proved to the Spartans in late-game situations. They can come close, if not finish. You know, what are your thoughts, Ray, more into that game? Does this show?
I think the biggest problem was Minnesota's getting 3-4 rebounds on the under their own hoop after missing a shot, and the ball would go out of bounds, and they'd out-hustle Indiana. It just seemed like it come down to hustle. Indiana, the center for Indiana got dominated by
right.
that Minnesota
yeah.
center.
Yeah, yeah, Ray. Zeller was dominated. But, Ray, let me ask you this. Now, with Indiana losing this game to Minnesota, them out-hustling Indiana, like you said, does this prove that Indiana is not the number one team in the nation to you?
Are you there?
Yeah, of course.
There's 15 or 20 teams that could win the national championship. I mean, it's just going to come down to who gets hot at the right time, just like the NFL playoffs and all the rest of it. They're all pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of teams. I mean, that game with State, you guys easily could have beat Indiana. It was a close game. I mean, it was tight all the way.
Right, of course. Yeah.
And, you know, Michigan hasn't lost a home game all year, so you got to go down there. Indiana's got to go down there. You guys better be ready to play when you go down there.
Hey, you guys, are you included in that, Ray, or no?
Oh, yeah. I can't stand David Brandon, Roy Carr, and Rich Rodriguez the way they lied to me.
Right. Well, no, and here's the thing. You know, they've got the game this weekend against Michigan. Now, if they lose this game, Ray, that's three straight losses for the Spartans. And if you're listening, three straight losses and Keith Appling's performance at a minimal is a little alarming. What's your thoughts on Keith Appling, Ray?
Well, you know, we're all imperfect, you know. You got times where the players are going to look real good, and other times they're not. They just got to fight through the adversity. That's all it comes down to.
All right, Ray. Thanks a lot for your call. We appreciate it.
Right, right.
All right. So Ray, of course, giving his insight on some Michigan State basketball. We're going to jump to a quick break right here on WKAR. And when we come back, Diamond Leong from MLive.com is joining us to discuss the Indiana loss, building off what Ray said, that on hustle, the lack of hustle from Indiana, and more. All that, WKAR, AM 870.
As governors gathered in Washington, President Obama seized the moment to lobby them on the looming sequester.
I hope that you speak with your congressional delegation and remind them in no uncertain terms exactly what is at stake.
I'm Neil Conan, Ken Rudin, our political junkie on the March 1st deadline and election results from Illinois, actual votes. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Some intriguing words from Obama himself. That's right, NPR News. That's Talk of the Nation at 2 p.m. on AM 870 WKAR.
Thank you for tuning in today. I'm Scott Pohl. Look for some light snow today with possible rain and drizzle. The high will be in the upper 30s. Light snow is likely tonight, but look for an inch or less of new accumulation, the low 28. Tomorrow, cloudy, a chance of light snow and a high of 35. Friday, mostly cloudy, the high 29.
Thank you, Scott. Welcome back to Sports Talk 870. Again, I want to remind you that we are giving away some tickets for the Michigan State Spartans taking on the Western Michigan Broncos this weekend, Friday and Saturday at Mon Ice Arena, 517-884-4783. We are getting a lot of calls, so you definitely want to call Aaron behind the glass there, get your name in, and we'll be drawing the winners at the end of today's show. So you definitely want to get those calls in within the next 35 minutes or so. So definitely pick up your phone and call that number. And again, we want to invite you to call us at Sports Talk 870, 517-355-9527. That's WKAR. You could also call toll-free, 877-952-7870. I want to welcome in Diamond Leung from MLive.com, joining us to talk about some Spartan rumblings leading up to the weekend. The Indiana loss specifically, Diamond. You caught the game. They maybe saw a couple of highlights the other night against Indiana in that Minnesota game. What does this say about Indiana's number one seed? Is this really not the best team anymore in the NCAA?
You know, I think they're still fine for that maybe overall number one seed, at least at this point. That's still a long way to go, obviously, in this kind of difficult Big Ten schedule. But, you know, they had an off day. Minnesota really picked it up with their bench play and really showed that, you know, it's not easy to win on the road. It wasn't easy, obviously, for Indiana to come out and get a win in East Lansing either. So I think just another sign that the Big Ten is strong. And, you know, I don't think it'll affect Indiana too much so long as they continue on in their winning ways.
Right. Now, and if it doesn't affect Indiana too much, how does this affect the Spartans? Because they beat Minnesota, they lose to Indiana. How will the committee look at this, do you think, Diamond?
Well, I think it was a big win for Minnesota from the Spartan standpoint because it puts them back in the running for at least a chance to split at that Big Ten title. They still could win it outright, obviously, but that's going to require an awful lot more. So I think it changes the outlook slightly for Michigan State. Michigan State still obviously needs to beat Michigan, otherwise, it's going to fall even farther out of the race. But things are looking a little better. It all takes is one break, and now they're right back in the thick of things.
Yeah, unbelievable. Now, as you said, they do have to get ready for Michigan. But as you wrote earlier this week, it's going to be a tough task. Talk about, besides for what you noted in that article and what Tom Izzo said, what are some other variables with this Michigan game? Do you think that maybe Michigan fans are fired up more after that loss? Do you think that Boeheim is going to come out with a different game plan than he displayed against Michigan State and East Lansing?
Right, quite possibly. I think the major factor, as Tom Izzo notes, is that you have to realize, Michigan State played one of its best games on defense, and Michigan played one of its worst games overall. So you have to count on the fact that it might not happen again that way. I don't think Michigan's a great, I don't think Michigan matched up very well with Michigan State. But on the other hand, there's adjustments to be made. You can't expect Tim Hardaway Jr. to get shut down once again as he did in East Lansing. Trey Burke, despite, maybe a so-so game, still at, I believe, 18 points against Michigan State. So clearly the Wolverines are still dangerous, and they have the home court advantage. So it's not going to be an easy game for them.
Right. And as you mentioned, the matchups against Michigan State weren't really in their favor. But leading up to that game, there was some questions about Jordan Morgan and his injury. I'm sure he's had some time to recover now. Do you think that will affect anything, the injury to Morgan from last time?
Quite possibly. Jordan Morgan obviously made his return during that game, and Michigan went with some maybe different rotations during that game than maybe the previous few games.
Right.
But I think he could definitely play a bigger factor. He didn't play his best game that game. Now he's had some time under his belt, and we'll see what happens.
For those of you just tuning in, Diamond Leung from MLive.com joining us. If you'd like to ask him a question, feel free to call in 517-355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. You can call toll-free as well, 877-952-7870. Diamond, of course, recapping the Indiana upset loss to Minnesota, what that means for the Spartans, a little bit about that Michigan game this weekend. But Diamond, I want to get more into some MSU basketball and a little bit what you wrote about Tom Izzo telling the fans it's okay to be upset, but just don't panic. Of course, the doom and gloom that followed that loss, as you said. But Tom Izzo, of course, as we've seen for many years, he definitely does a great job with connecting to the Izzo and the fans. He's a voice with them. from holding all kinds of events on campus to you know, greeting a bunch of fans after press conferences and things like that. But if the Spartans do lose this game against Michigan, and let's just say Tom Izzo says don't panic, does that raise the level a little bit higher, or is Tom Izzo maybe preparing for a loss and understands that this is a very tough scheduling of games?
Yeah, I think that could be part of it. I think it's really based in whatever the fans' reaction might be right now. It's probably rooted in sort of a compliment overall for Michigan State and what it's achieved over the years. I mean, you know, fans get used to winning. Mm-hmm. They used to get they demand an awful lot more. You can see that with the football team as well, and the way they reacted to really a 6-6 regular season. Once you've kind of tasted winning, and Michigan State basketball fans have tasted for a long time, losing becomes very uncommon and in some ways unacceptable. I think that's a tribute to the program that Michigan State has built. And now we're starting to feel some of that. And yeah, it could very well easily be 3 losses in a row, in which case it will on paper be 3 losses to ranked teams, 2 of which were on the two of which came during a road game.
Right. No, definitely put it well. Diamond, more about what you wrote about Brandon Dawson. Izzo saying he's glad that Dawson was upset about that play, but the thing that I don't really understand about that is most players, correct me if I'm wrong, but most college players, most professional NBA players, if they have a bad game, I feel that maybe they're going to be upset no matter what. I feel like this is more of a commonality. I mean, is there any times that Izzo has maybe seen players that weren't upset after their play, maybe shadowing into Keith Appling at all?
Right. I think just in that individual moment, when Dawson came back to the bench, kind of fired up, he was, according to Izzo, Dawson wasn't that he was unhappy about being pulled out of the game. It was that he was just mad at himself. And, you know, Dawson, as we all know, has been an emotional player throughout his time in Michigan State. And, you know, it's just another example of where, you know, coaching helps. And I think, Tom Izzo, I guess, sees in Dawson that here's a player who wants to improve, who, has been, positive about things overall, who really a year following ACL surgery is still grinding in some ways, and at the same time still proving that he still is one of the top athletes around. So I think it's a little bit of both for Brandon Dawson, who's struggling with some things, but I think, he just certainly has plenty of time to do some catching up and to make the season what it's worth.
Absolutely. For those of you just tuning in, Diamond Leung from MLive.com joining us. Diamond, just switching gears here from basketball, because, of course, you covered football as well this year. The Spartans, there's some reports, not official yet, but from CoachingSearch.com, they're reporting that former Ohio State offensive coordinator Jim Bowman will be joining the MSU football staff. Of course, he was the offensive line coach at Purdue. First of all, I don't know how much you've looked into this. Of course, it's not official. But if this does hold true, if Bowman does get the position of offensive coordinator, of course, there were some rumblings down at Ohio State. A lot of fans were disappointed with him because of the lack of performance with maybe the talent that they had. What do you think he can bring to MSU and that offense?
I think it's still a little bit too early to say. Obviously, he's coming in, and what that says, I think, is Mark D'Antonio in some ways wants to look outside his staff. Yet at the same time, here's a guy that maybe knows Mark D'Antonio very well. It appears they've worked together at 3 separate stops, including one at Michigan State under Nick Saban. So I think these two are very familiar with each other. And we'll see what happens. Like you said, it's unofficial at this point. But, ultimately you are bringing in a new offense coordinator at a time when you lose a Le'Veon Bell, you lose a Deion Sims, and that certainly doesn't help. At the same time, it's time to reevaluate, and I think Mark D'Antonio is doing just that.
Absolutely. Now, along with that, you mentioned that, they're going outside of their organization. But, of course, you have some players endorsing some assistants right now. Of course, the endorsement from Dave Warner, and then, of course, the running backs coach. But I don't know about you, but I personally feel, Diamond, that if I'm a coach and I see a lot of support from some players with some of the current staff, that has to have some weight when choosing an offensive coordinator. Yes, sir?
Possibly. I think, obviously players are going to say the right things at the same time and support the coaches that have kind of mentored them up the chain and allowed them to become the players that they've become. At the same time, I think players, you know, don't have all the answers sometimes. You know, it takes a lot of big picture perspective to make these hires. It takes a lot of thorough evaluation on what Michigan State maybe needs to build going toward the future. That takes into account the recruits that they're bringing in, the type of style they want to implement, and all sorts of things that maybe players aren't privy to, even the ones that have kind of achieved a measure of success. So I think it's difficult to tell. You know, players obviously who are adamant about supporting one of the two assistant coaches obviously are, you know, they have strong opinions. And I think, you know, I don't think the coaches don't take those into account. But I think overall, it's a much more complicated process.
Right. Now, of course, with the complicated process, are there any guys in mind that you think the Spartans would be targeting?
Targeting for which?
Oh, for offensive coordinators, some of the empty positions.
It's hard to tell right now. I think, until this gets kind of sorted out, it's really difficult to tell.
Right, of course. But are there any leading candidates, guys that you can maybe see a fit, anything that you've looked into or really just haven't looked into it that much just because there's so much basketball to cover right now?
yeah, not at this point, no.
Absolutely. Of course, Diamond Leung joining us from MLive.com. Want to remind you that we are giving away tickets this weekend for the Western Michigan Broncos and Spartans, the Tom Anastas crew hosting them in East Lansing. The ticket number, 517-884-4783. Aaron's been taking some calls all day and all week, so definitely want to pick up the phone and call in. And if you have any questions for Diamond, we actually are just getting in a call right now, 517-355-WKAR. Is the number. Diamond, while I have you on real quick, I don't know if you've been keeping up much with the combine, but of course Johnny Adams ran yesterday, and of course he had a pretty nice performance, and then along with Golston and Bell, what's your ideal take on how these guys will do when it comes to draft day?
I think it's another thing that's difficult to tell. I think people are very eager to maybe overrate some of their guys at times, especially within the own fan bases. It's a difficult process to tell. Because, you know, teams are going to draft based on need. They're going to draft based on different decisions, based on talent. And it's sometimes difficult to measure yourself locally compared to what's out there, you know, across the nation. Plenty of other good athletes everywhere. Just because your guy runs a 4.4 doesn't mean, a lot of guys aren't right there with them.
Right.
And I think, you know, for Le'Veon Bell, you know, he's got to look at this as a positive outlook, with the 40 time that he ran and what he was able to prove out there. And for other guys, it's kind of unclear, Deion Sims kind of goes into a market where, you know, he's, you know, obviously not listed as the best tight end, not listed maybe as a top tight end. So I think it's still very unsettled, you know, until we get deeper in the process, until they go through a pro day at Michigan State, where exactly, you know, the chips are going to fall.
All right, Diamond, we do have a caller on the line for you. We've got Mark. Mark, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Pretty well. Go ahead. Ask away for Diamond.
A couple questions. The first one is, and they're kind of related. The first one is, do you have any feel for who Michigan State might end up getting as a recruit in this class? I know it's late in the game, but I think there are a couple of guys that they got eyes on, and I'm curious as to what you think the chances of them getting one or two recruits in this class. And then two, any rumblings as to any players perhaps leaving early on the basketball team? And if indeed he's also responsible for covering Michigan, the question would apply in equal respect to Michigan. And I'm pretty confident Trey Burke is going to be leaving, but I'm curious as to whether or not one of those other guys is a viable chance of possibility of leaving. I'll hang up on this. Thanks.
Mark, thanks a lot for your questions. Diamond.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Mark. Regarding your first question about Michigan State's recruiting class, so as of right now, they have a scholarship offer out to Gavin Schilling, who's a 6'9 forward who currently plays for Finley Prep, kind of a powerhouse program in Nevada. He's he has lived in the Chicago area as well, so he has Midwest ties, kind of a late bloomer, so to say, and who can really fill a role for Michigan State. Michigan State is Michigan State is one of its four finalists, and he's expected to take an official visit to Michigan State early next month. So that would be the one candidate that Michigan State hopes to bring in. And not possibly, you know, with three scholarships open after Derek Nix graduates, There could be some more, and you know they might not get Schilling either. They could be looking for maybe a fifth year senior transfer, a la Brandon Wood. They could look
right.
for another transfer, maybe a JC player. A lot of things could come into play, but I think it's still early, even though I know we're in the kind of the post Jabari Parker era at this point. But there's still time to evaluate and make decisions on that.
Right.
And regarding your second question, regarding rumblings about the draft, I haven't really heard any rumblings so far. I think a lot of the players are saying the right things and saying they're focused on what's going on with the current season right now. But I think as a lot of how things might be determined could be based on the NCAA tournament. Guys getting an extra chance to shine right now. Obviously, you have an Adrian Payne who. I think, there are people in Michigan State who kind of, there are, I wouldn't say concerns, that's not the right word, but concerns, this guy could eventually, declare for the draft later on this season. Payne's a guy who's shown off an exceptional jump shot, really expanded his game and shown that he can do a lot of things. And as with all players, there is the consistency factor that he has to improve on as well. So I think as far as, down to decision-making process and stuff like that, it's a little bit too early to think about because of the way these kids are still focused on things. At the same time, I don't think you can ignore it either, and that's why you're right in your question. There's Gary Harris who's kind of shooting up those draft boards. There's other possibilities as well. So, Brandon Dawson, obviously coming off an injury, still trying to find his way. It's difficult to tell, I think, because sometimes decisions aren't made necessarily based on whether or not that specific player is actually ready for the draft. Mm-hmm. You don't know. There's a lot more things that go into it relative to is he ready. So I think that's why it's difficult to tell, and obviously there's still a Big Ten title to contend for.
Right, exactly. Diamond, that's some great insight there. And more, I want to ask you real quickly, just one question more, and actually we might have one more caller for you with a question. But one more question I want to ask you about those pro rumblings is that Adrian Payne, I mean, we've seen him at the Michigan game, just some of that motivation, standing up at the bench, he's the guy not sitting down, and just his leadership. Talk about his progression, and compared to last year when we were covering this team, this looks like a totally different player.
Right. I think he's really grown up in this program. He's obviously had some struggles in academics-wise in high school, really came here and improved himself from that standpoint, became one of the, the best students on the team. And that's part of his maturation process. And a lot has happened, I think, with Adrian since he's gotten to Michigan State. His grandmother who raised him passed away. And since then, I imagine he's had a lot of growing up to do. And you can see that from the skill development standpoint as well, in which he's really improved himself. During this offseason, he worked a lot on his jump shot. And now you're seeing the rewards from that hard work as well. So, and like you said, from the team leadership standpoint, he's really kind of, become a more vocal guy. He's a guy that when we used to talk to him, last year, maybe more of a quiet guy. And now I think, he said going into this season that, he was less goofy of a person. He's becoming
right.
more serious, maturing right before our very eyes. So I think he understands what's at stake. And right now you're seeing good things happen from him.
Absolutely. We've got one more call for you, Diamond. We've got another Mark on the line. Mark, what's your question for Diamond?
Yeah, Diamond, quick question about recruiting again as far as Michigan State. You mentioned that Gavin Schilling. My gut, and I'll just say what I think, and you tell me if you think that what your gut is. That is, my gut, just based on his quotes, that Michigan State might be his kind of unofficial leader. The other question I had about MSU basketball recruiting is, there's a kid, a JUCO player, that's in Toledo. I think his name is James Kelly. Last name is Kelly. He's a 6'8", power forward. He's got five or so offers, maybe from Miami and Florida and New Mexico and then St. Bonaventure. And he was at Michigan State apparently for a couple of games. Wondered if you have heard about this kid and if you think Michigan State is actually seriously looking at him and might offer him a scholarship, either with or either if Schilling commits or doesn't commit, would this kid be in the mix, do you think? So that's my question.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Regarding Kelly, I actually haven't heard much about him at all, really. So I'm unfamiliar with that particular player. But regarding Schilling, I think it's too difficult to read that he would be or he has Michigan State maybe up there as his unofficial leader. I chat with his mom, you know, a little bit here and there, and you know, I think they're still going about and going through the process, and you know, they've always said they're going to wait, you know, until you know late in the process, probably late March is when I believe Schilling is going to pick. But you know, the first official visit he took was to Minnesota, and he's had he's been recruited by them, there for a while now. I think there's UCLA, which is right there with them. You know, they had the last official visit that he took during that time, and I think he really enjoyed that one. It's really too hard to see at this point. I think here's a kid who's got a lot of things in front of him that are maybe coming up that maybe he couldn't have even imagined himself a while ago. So I think right now it's a wait and see process, and until he finishes taking those visits and making sure of things, I think it's still up in the air.
Too early to tell seems to be the common theme right now with a lot of these issues, but it's never too early to talk about. Of course, we always appreciate Diamond coming on with us. Diamond, thanks so much for your time and some great insight, and hopefully we'll see it all unfold as the days continue.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Thanks, Diamond. That was Diamond Leong from MLive.com. We're going to take a quick break right here at Sports Talk at WKAR AM 870. When we return, we're going to get into some basketball brawls. That's right, Roy Hibbert to Carmelo Anthony and Tyson Chandler. And Meta World Peace, he just seems to be looming. Detroit Tigers spring training talk, the Verlander contract, the Avisail Garcia strategy, and what's the deal with Bruce Rondon? All this and more when we return.
As speculation swirls about why Pope Benedict XVI chose to resign, the church is dealing with the child sex abuse scandal, a money laundering probe involving the Vatican Bank, and reports of financial and sexual misconduct among church officials. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Vatican correspondent John Favis. Join us.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio.
The forecast for today, calling for some light snow with possible rain and drizzle. The high will be around 37. Light snow likely tonight, an inch or less of new snow with a low of 28. Thursday, cloudy and maybe light snow, the high 35. Friday's forecast, mostly cloudy and a high in the upper 20s. I'm Scott Pohl.
Scott, thanks a lot for that weather. Again, the number 517-355-9527. That's WKAR. You could also call toll-free 877-952-7870. Speaking of that weather, Aaron, you mentioned that you're going to get your drizzle coat on for that today, and hopefully you won't affect any sporting events, but can you believe this weather outside, Aaron? And talk about maybe, has that affected any calls you've been getting too? Have people been complaining over the lines?
No one's been complaining, but it's affecting me getting out on the golf course. If somehow it just magically became 60 degrees for the next 2 months in a row, that would be great, but that's not happening.
Right. Hey, if you're listening and you want to talk about all the golf courses or maybe indoor golf that you'd like to play, again, do a little golf segment too. I'd love to hear your calls. 517-355-9527, toll-free 877-952-7870. Whether it's the Arcadia Bluffs or it's Farmington Public, we want to hear all the courses. So give us a call before we get into some of these segments coming up. It is open lines for the rest of the show, so we want to invite you to call in. And, of course, call for the hockey tickets, 517-884-4783. We've got about 20 minutes left. Well, actually, less than that. We've got about 10 minutes left before we pick two winners, so you definitely want to get those calls in within the last 10 minutes. Alongside with everything we've talked about with Diamond, time to get into some NBA basketball brawls. That's right. We haven't seen it much since the Palace Brawl back years ago, but guess what? The Indiana Pacers and the Golden State Warriors had a huge scuffle when Indiana's Roy Hibbert was ejected and four players received technical fouls. And if you watch the video highlights of this, the thing that mind boggles me is just the fact that there was fan involvement. I'm not talking about throwing cups onto Ron Artest, Meta World Peace now, sitting over on the score table. I'm not talking about fans walking onto the courts and really trying to start things with players. I'm talking about players pushing, hurling, and punching other players into the stand. That's right. Literally racking up the cheerleaders, racking up some of the cameramen. There are players falling left and right in this brawl. Of course, this isn't as severe, but I mean, this was a pretty heated incident. And with what I saw, correct me if I'm wrong, I'd love to hear your opinion on this, but when Roy Hibbert started to get in with David Lee, he really didn't initiate anything. He was probably trying to get position. We saw some very similar things happen with Derek Nix and Cody Zeller, some nudging, some foul play. I mean, we see this all the time, but this reaction to it just seemed a little bit more than I expected. When he reacted to this pushing and some of this foul play, quote unquote, it was more than just both of them getting into their own fights. But players starting to punch other players and push other players. It was total team involvement, and this was something that I think maybe could have had an effect on not only just these two players, but there could have been some heated tensions between Paul George or Danny Granger. There could have been some more heated tension between Stephen Curry or Klay Thompson and some of the guys that they had to guard. So it could have been a team effort as the fourth quarter was leading up to the Pacers' win. They won 108-97. It's still alarming. And even before that, days before, we saw the Carmelo Anthony scuffle with Spencer Hawes, and that involved Tyson Chandler at 7'2" coming in and giving Spencer Hawes a little bit of a push. Within the 1 week, I mean, we might as well have a brawl segment on top 10 brawls of the week because there are just too many scuffles and brawls, and even college, we saw it with Derek Nix. It's alarming to me. Maybe you see it a little bit differently. We see brawls happen all the time. You see them in sports. But in basketball, with especially the way that technicals happen, it usually has to do with the referees. It really rarely has to do with fellow players. 517-355-9527. You can call toll free 877-952-7870. Again, two pairs of hockey tickets as the Spartans host the Broncos from Western Michigan out in Kalamazoo this weekend for Friday and Saturday. 517-884-4783. We've got about 8 minutes before we announce some winners there. So you definitely want to get those calls in. Moving on from this basketball brawl ordeal, I want to get into a lot of hot topics with the Detroit Tigers. We haven't talked about it much. We've talked a lot about Spartan sports, a lot with the Red Wings today. But I want to get into some spring training topics because for those of you who have not been following, Tigers began spring training this past weekend, opening up against the Braves and the Phillies. Spartans drop in one or two, but still winning a good amount of games. A couple things that are a little alarming, just to start off, is Bruce Rondon. Of course, this is the guy that we expect to be that fastball thrower, to compete like Joel Zamaya did years ago. We expected Bruce Rondon, of course, to show why he deserves on this team, but he had a pretty erratic Tuesday game yesterday. And back-to-back four-pitch walks, he had some a tricky jam to basically get himself out of, but it shows that maybe his accuracy isn't all there. Surprisingly, he has that triple-digit fastball, so that's always a plus. But, of course, with runners on, it's nice to see his composure. I mean, of course, with Jose Valverde, with runners on base, that was one of his weaknesses. Before coming into the ninth inning, I mean, his earned run average, Jose Valverde's, was much lower. And when you talk about the earned run average and you compare that to Bruce Rondon's performances, it's very young. I mean, this guy's 22 in a major league bullpen as a rookie. That's just astonishing within itself. So to see a guy coming up in the organization who throws those triple digits, it's great to see that. And, of course, Jim Leland, of course, being that leader, I'm sure he will mentor Bruce Rondon every step of the way. But you know what? It's very early. We're not really going to look too much into this. But it's great to see that Bruce Rondon's got a changeup, a very effective changeup. There's a 3-2 count. It was Carlos Pena was up at the plate. Pena was well in front, and then Leland got it moving on. So that was, of course, very nice to see some of his composure. I personally like Bruce Rondon. I mean, this guy got himself out of a jam. that many expected as a 22-year-old pitcher when playing this, you know, when playing to really falter. Sure, this is the Houston Astros. This isn't necessarily the strongest team. But one thing to notice about Bruce Rondon, outside the fact that he is that, you know, he does throw those wild pitches, is that you got to look at that as a positive. You've got to look at the fact that, hey, for a 22-year-old to come in here and have that composure in one of his first spring training starts, and he's not even facing some of these players that are young gunners too. I mean, in this spring training matchup, he is facing Carlos Pena. He is facing some starters. Just like Miguel Cabrera knocked a 466-foot home run out of the park the other day. This isn't just not necessarily just you know, a practice for AAA guys. This is practice for when it's come the time for Major League Baseball. This is practice for when Miguel Cabrera has to face off against some tough pitchers. So again, very interesting to see Bruce Rondon's wild pitch, but nonetheless, it is still evident that he can maybe have an impact on this team. If you'd like to comment on any of the Detroit Tigers spring training topics, 517-355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. You can call toll free as well, 877-952-7870. That's 877-952-WKAR-870. That's right. Email us too, sportstalk@WKAR.org. We'd love to hear from you. Of course, with the Torii Hunter acquisition, there's a lot going on with Avisail Garcia, and then, of course, with Nick Castellanos. And some very interesting news with Avisail Garcia is he's not expected to compete this year. And what that means is, with the lineup that they have with a lot of young guns, when his big league, basically, series events happens, it's still really unclear. I mean, he's still a rookie. It doesn't matter. The expectations for him really aren't too high. But in terms of him and his growth as a player and his maturity, I think we'll see that over the years. I mean, spring training is just a great start to that. The 6'4", 200-pound Garcia looks like someone who maybe would be at a combine. I mean, this guy. but, of course, his performance in the major leagues when the Tigers needed it was just terrific. Just terrific. I mean, and even adding on from a Bruce Rondon perspective, with Torii Hunter and some of these options and some of these gunners that they have, it's amazing. It truly is. So, of course, it remains to be seen whether Avisail Garcia will have an impact on this team. But another big topic I'd like to talk about are the injuries. We saw with Brendan Bosch, his timetable for his return is not necessarily quite there yet. But Quinton Berry is the latest outfielder to be sidelined with his injury. Yes, that's right. He was knocked out because he's got some tendonitis in his knee. And keep in mind, I mean, this is alarming to me too, because Quinton Berry, yes, he was a rookie, but this is an old rookie. This was a rookie into his peak of his years in baseball. The Tigers took a chance on him, passed around by a couple different ball clubs, and of course, coming up in a big way with a big, big World Series run. So, of course, great with his performance. But Andy Dierks with his intercostal muscles, Brendan Bosch with his oblique, they're both day-to-day, but honestly, I'd like to have him back. I think Jim Leland would too. There's a bunch of them. Ramon Santiago's calf strained, but I mean, that's the beauty of spring training within itself. The fact that players can basically be a little easier with the fact that they don't necessarily need to stress for that performance. They don't necessarily have to basically bid for their contracts every single year. Some of the guys to look out for: Tyler Collins, Daniel Fields. These guys have been getting a lot of extra time. They were also on the travel team, along with Torii Hunter and Austin Jackson, working out at the Tiger Town Complex. But of course, they're getting some good looks in. A couple of young guys, AA, AAA, trying to make their spot. So we'll see as it continues. Last part about the Tigers before we announce the two winners of the tickets. Aaron is drawing those winners right now, but it's Justin Verlander. Yes, the MVP himself. Of course, he needs a contract extension at some point. I'm sure Tigers fans would love to see him. I'm sure that if his teammates would love to see him there. He's definitely honed in, of course, to be that number one guy for this team. But Verlander coming out to the public and saying that he wants that $200 million. I mean, this is an MVP. Of course, King Felix from the Seattle Mariners, I mean, he signed a deal for $175. And when you compare Felix's $175 to Justin Verlander, And Justin Verlander's got some heat on him. He's got some World Series over him. Felix obviously lacking a little bit of that. But, I mean, Justin Verlander, if it were that simple, the Tigers aren't necessarily the Yankees. Sure, the Yankees possibly of the Midwest, the Yankees of the AL Central, but they don't have necessarily that cap, or they may not even want to spend that money on Verlander. Would you pay Justin Verlander $200 million with 5 minutes left in the show? I'd love to hear it. 517-355-9527, 355-WKAR, toll-free 877-952-7870. But guess what? It comes that time where we draw the winners of the tickets. I hope you've been tuning in all week and for tonight, for today's show. Aaron, I'm sure you've been random.org those winners. Let's announce them. Let's hear them, Aaron.
Dun, 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 dun. That was my lame attempt at a drum roll. So we got Eric from Eaton Rapids and Wayne from Williamston.
Winners.
So they're going to be going to hockey versus Western Michigan.
Very good. Actually, I think Wayne actually won last week, too. So congrats to him. That just proves the point. If you win once, it doesn't mean you can't win again. So for Spartan basketball, for Spartan hockey, it's all random. So definitely keep calling in. We love to hear from you in terms of how badly you want to see some Spartans play. With 4 minutes left in the show, we haven't heard from Aaron all show. I'm going to get Aaron on here. I hope he doesn't mind. He's been busy all day with calls and all that sort. But hey, Aaron, thoughts about any of the Tigers realignment? Anything you've been eyeing lately in sports that is intriguing?
Well, there's lots going on, so there's plenty to look at. I think the NHL alignment is intriguing for the fact that, one, I'm a hockey fan, and two, this favors the Wings immensely. The fact that they can actually, get on the same conference in their own time zone, I frankly was sick and tired of having to, wait till 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night to watch a Wings game. And then, be up till 1 o'clock or whatever. And then if it went in, if it was a playoff game and it, what if it goes in overtime? If you're in a second overtime, you're 1-2 in the morning. I mean, that was that was hard to do. So, I would love to see that kind of go through. I mean, I'm not really sure why it wouldn't. I'm glad they're kind of, trying different options and kind of come up with different things. I think this only favors the NHL for TV purposes. It favors obviously the Wings quite a bit. So, I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out. And then I'm also obviously looking forward to the big game on Sunday against Michigan. It's going to be a completely different game. If anyone thinks that they're going to go in there and beat them by, 20-some points, 23, whatever points. It's not going to happen. It's going to be a close game. As Diamond said earlier, Michigan doesn't match up all that well with Michigan State, but it's going to be a different game. You're in a different environment. Students are going to be loud. It's going to be loud in there, and Michigan State better bring their A game because they haven't the last couple days.
That's
their last couple games.
Very good. Of course, always love hearing from Aaron, but hey, he said it best. That 1 to 2 a.m. showing in hockey games, when we have our 9 to 5 day jobs, whether you're in East Lansing, Williamston, Okemos, you have your 9 to 5 day job, you just want to go home, kick it back at 7:30, go to bed at a reasonable time. You don't necessarily want to keep up with the young college kids like myself that loves their traditional 10:30 games. We'll get into more if you'd like to tune in tomorrow. Call in. We'll talk about a little bit more realignment tomorrow and some of those details. That's going to do it from Sports Talk 870. I'm Alex Sharg. Aaron Young doing a terrific job behind the glass. You've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we're Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2. I'll be back tomorrow right here on AM 870. Join us tomorrow, and then, of course, have yourself a safe and pleasant evening. And we'll see you tomorrow, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. Congrats to Wayne and the ticket winners. Have fun, everyone.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.